Happening, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for waiting, Madam President.
Off a day. Good afternoon. Happy Friday and Biba Mestramor to everybody. Thank you so much for your patience. I apologize. I had an emergency meeting with our student leaders and had to segue from that. It is now 3:13 p.m. I'd like to go ahead and call the regular board of directors meeting of the Research Corporation of the University of Guam to order. The first order of business is the meeting minutes, regular meeting minutes of October 25th, 2024. The members have been sent a copy of the minutes and have had time to review, I'm assuming. So I will go ahead and let's see, entertain a motion for action.
I move to approve the minutes for October 25th, 2024.
Thank you very much, Regent Malilai. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Oh.
Second was made by Professor Ryan Shook. Okay, thank you very much. Any discussion on the meeting minutes? Any errors or omissions? I don't see any. All in favor of approving the minutes, please signify by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
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 Aye. It is unanimous. The meeting minutes are approved. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is chairperson's remarks. We had a just want to thank all of you who joined us to help celebrate the 57th Charter Day celebration of the University of Guam yesterday through the proclamation by Governor Lulian Guerrero. The month of March has also been declared UOG Charter Month to coincide with Nestemoro and our Charter Day. Very successful. The day is not done. We still have the rest of the class annual research conference. I think that's coming to a close with a closeout art display at the Isla Center for the Arts with the title, it's Tapestry of Resilience. And you will see display of the art work from the art department. And so I'm excited to see that. If you do have time, please come on over tonight. We're also celebrating Blue Night, that is by the Student Government Association. And their feature for the evening is the UOG, Miss UOG pageant. We haven't had one of those in a long time. I believe we used to have Mr. UOG pageant. Personally, I wanted them to bring back the Battle of the Bands, but maybe we'll see that next year at Blue Night. Thank you. I want to thank Michael Connor, our interim executive director, for all of your efforts in helping to provide more transparency about the status of the grants portfolio within the RCEOG umbrella, and to also inform the executive team, along with Dr. Pam Peralta Titano, who is the interim vice provost for the Office of Research and Sponsored Programs, and our other administrators, on a total view of all of our grant, federal grants and contracts portfolio and the status based on the communication from each of the different sponsored federal agencies and where we are. Status with regard to whether or not the grant was terminated, whether it was suspended short term, whether it is at risk based on the executive orders that came under President Trump's administration, and what the immediate foreseeable future is with regard to the status of the grants and contracts. And so I will leave that to Michael to provide us with an update on that. But we also wanted to inform the board that we have been in direct communication with Congressman James Moylan's legislative assistant, who has been keeping us apprised of just the conversations that have been taking place in Washington, D.C. As you know, Delegate Moylan is a member of the Education and Workforce Committee, which votes in our favor with regard to knowing the conversations that are taking place as it relates to federal financial aid, federal loans, and the potential impact on students, but also what we can expect with regard to what is happening related to grants and contracts. So I'll leave that to Michael to present that. As we go through that conversation, of course, the University of Guam, for some of you, if not all of you, have read about the supplemental budget bill that is before the legislature. It is Bill 58-38. We had a very successful public hearing last week, Friday, followed by a devastating PDN article the next morning, followed by a clarification by our very own president of the faculty union, Dr. Arun Swamy, about what the salaries represent. And of course, we've got some backpedaling from certain senators on the 38th Guam legislature as far as whether or not they still want to support Bill 5838, hence the emergency meeting with our SGA leaders this coming Monday at 9 a.m. Our senators will be engaged in a markup session for Bill 58-38 to ascertain whether or not this bill will move forward to the March session when it will be up for consideration, or if it dies, or if it is postponed until their next session in May. Either way, there are a lot of moving parts, and as we are navigating the fluidity of what is going on with our grants and contracts at the federal level, we're also navigating what is going on in terms of the local funding situation. And as always, in this large canoe, we maintain through proper navigation. And of course, we are very, 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 very supportive. I'm sorry, appreciative of the support that comes from all of you, as well as especially from our students, our Board of Regents, our faculty, and so forth. So I'll go ahead and close this for now and go on to the next item on our agenda, which is the report. Let's see, new business actually, 4.0. We have 4.1, Acting Executive Director's report to the board. Michael?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can everyone see my screen? Okay. Well, before I get into the report to the board, I did want to be able to share the annual report. So the last time we did meet was in October, so we never went over the annual report. It was mailed in January. Some of you may have received it in February. So I'm going to try to do it a little bit quick, but if you have any questions, please feel free to be able to step in. This was our annual report from 2024. I've always really liked this image that we provided. This was taken by Olympia Terrell. It's just a really neat image of a bee going on a flower. I thought it was really beautiful. This is our lovely faces of our board, many of you that are in this meeting right now. So again, thank you for coming to this meeting and making time in your schedules. I'm sure all of you are very, very busy and very much appreciate you spending your time here with me and the rest of my team. This is a great letter that was provided by our former executive director, Kathleen Moreland, really highlighting our 10-year anniversary, us crossing that $100 million mark. Very, very impressive feat. We had a celebration. Most of you were able to attend that in October. So thank you for attending. Thank you for the speeches that you guys had and everything that happened during that event. We found it extremely successful. We thought it went really well. We hope that everybody enjoyed their time at that event. Some of the key performance indicators that we did have in fiscal year 24 compared to fiscal year 23, our grant expenditures went up double digits again and went up by 17.5%. Our number of employees increased by 9.8%, going from 224 to 246. Our grants remained steady at 171 grants as opposed to 170. And we awarded 17 travel awards to numerous students throughout the University of Guam. This is our staff. Almost my entire staff are currently on this call now. So thank you, team, for helping to support and be informed about this board meeting. So thank you for attending. We all know what the purpose is already of RCOG. So I wouldn't need to get into that. Fiscal year 2024 audit was successful. We didn't have any question costs here at RCOG. I would say that audit in particular was very, very difficult. There was quite a bit of scrutiny, not scrutiny in terms of being it bad, but being looking at everything that was required from RCUG and the University of Guam. They really, really, really looked into grants in that particular year. And I was told that they actually audited 40% of our expenditures. So the fact that we didn't have any issues is a real, real testament to our team that we were able to provide and all the necessary things and also be able to follow all regulations. Our credit card audit is still ongoing at the moment, and it is still ongoing as of today. Currently, OPA has not said anything at all since then, so we'll say their silence is probably something good, hopefully. Revenue and expenditures, we did have an increase in both revenue and expenditures. We ended up with a net revenue of 714,000, which we'll be talking about later on. Our grant expenditures went up from 22 million to 26 million. That's about 17.5%. And of course, our human resources, because we were getting more grants, we were hiring, having more hires as well. We went from 515 personnel hiring actions in 24 compared to 425 in 23. Quite the difference. Our procurement transactions continued to go up. It went up by almost 500 compared to fiscal year 23. So that was quite the difference. In terms of focus on research that we've had, Department of Navy is actually our most now. And that really encompasses CSU grants that we really work with ORSP. They are the pioneers and they're really the ones that really look out for those grants. So we work really hand in hand with ORSP. So as Dr. Anita mentioned earlier, big thanks to Dr. Pam and her team for being able to provide us with these opportunities with those grants. As you guys know, we are contributing to the Wherry Building and the Nursing Annex. We spend about $250,000 per year. There's been a tremendous amount of improvement and construction that's been going on since October. It's looking better and better every day. We're very, very excited in RCUG to be able to contribute to this and hopefully see it standing later on this year. These are some pictures. If you guys got the physical copy, there is an actual timeline in this page. This is the same timeline that we presented in the 10-year anniversary event. So if you have the physical copy, you'll see a cool timeline from 2014 all the way up to 2024 of how RCOG was formed and where it is currently. Then we have some policies that we adopt in fiscal year 24, a little bit more about our core seed lease that we do have at the hatchery. This is our financial statements. In general, I assume that most of you have already seen this, so I'll just pause here just for a second. If you have any questions, you could raise your hand and I can answer any of those questions. Travel awards. I mentioned earlier that we did do 17 travel awards. These are some of the beautiful faces of the people that we were able to be able to send out. All extremely thankful that we were able to provide to them. As we always do, we always have them do a presentation to us and when they come back. And it's always been cool to be able to see some of the experiences that they have. And it's always very heartfelt at the same time. I've always been very jealous of these two in particular because they went to Italy, someplace that I'm hoping to go to one day. They were able to talk a lot about Italy and made me more motivated to be able to go there one day. Here's more pictures of more people from our travel awards. Again, they're going to so many different places. We're able to provide them basically with free airfare to their tickets using our RCOG miles. And this is our list of contracts and grants. Again, as mentioned, we have about 170. It's quite a bit in regards to what it is that we're able to do currently at RCUG. Before I begin with the executive director's report, does anyone have any questions in regards to the annual report? All right. Okay, I'll go ahead and proceed to the acting executive director's report to the RCUG board. So, okay, starting with the grant expenditures at the moment. So at this moment, our grant expenditures has gone up in fiscal year 24, going up from 14.95% as opposed to fiscal year 23. So we're still on a good track in regards to being able to expend more for our grants. It's up 1.2 million, which is a sizable amount, and it seems to be growing as compared to the previous year. Our indirect costs has also gone up. It's gone up 28% from fiscal year 24, up 280,000 from fiscal year 24, which again is a lot and is more than fiscal year 23 as well. Our operations revenue and expenditures, our RCG revenue is almost exactly the same as it was in fiscal year 24, only a 0.06% difference. And our operations expenditures, on the other hand, has increased by 26.93% as opposed to from fiscal year 24. Some of the important KPIs that we have, our employees is now at 243. We have 143 full-time, 100 part-time, with 21 of them being students. 21 students is the most amount of students that we've had as employees ever in RCOG's history. So we're giving more and more opportunity to some of the students that we have in the undergrad level. In terms of our grants that we support, it's gone down a little bit since the end of fiscal year 24. It's now at 141, 144. Many of the smaller grants that we had at the end of fiscal year 24 have since expired. So we're now at 144. Our annual budgets is about 33 million, and our multi-year budgets for grants that we currently support is at 101 million. So we're still at the 100 million mark at this moment. These are some of the travel awards that we've given out in fiscal year 25. At this moment, we've already given, as mentioned before, we gave 17 at the end of the entire year in fiscal year 24. We're already at 10 in fiscal year 25. We're sending more and more students. Again, these are miles that we get from our credit card from transactions that we do. Again, these are students that are able to either present papers, go to conferences that they otherwise would not be able to go previously. So they're always very thankful, as mentioned again. Some updates. Fiscal year 24 audit is still ongoing. There's been no issues so far at this moment. It seems a lot slower than it was in the previous year. And I believe it's because they're auditing other aspects of UOG more so than the grant section. So far, it's been going very well. Again, as I mentioned, the OPA credit card audit, that's still ongoing. We haven't heard anything. I do know that the business office had a few additional documents that they requested from OPA, or OPA requested from them, but OPA has not reached out to RCOG at all. So again, hopefully silence means good and that we're okay in regards to the OPA credit card audit. I'm confident because I believe we provided almost everything that they requested. Some technology and software improvements. We've been working with the fund manager with ORSP for a long time already. This is the Cayuse extension, which basically ties our current colleague to be able to show grants, budgets, and expenditures through Cayuse instead. We are working hand in hand with them, actually, in particular, me, with Jed and Tracy, as well as Dr. Pam, and hopefully we're able to release that soon. There have been a plethora of issues that we've been trying to solve. Amber's Chrome River, which is the travel software, some of you are administrators or faculty that have probably heard these in previous meetings. This should be releasing as early as April 1. We're doing a soft launch. What that means really is that we want to be able to make sure it works properly. with trusted people that we're able to work with, and then eventually release it as early as potentially July to the entire university. So I just had a meeting with this just earlier this morning. It's looking good. We're very excited to have this because we feel like it's going to make travel a lot more efficient, not just in our COG, but throughout the whole entire University of Guam. And one more cool thing that some technology and software improvements is an RCOG chatbot. I actually myself created this, and I'm hoping to launch this as early as May 1. This is an example of the chatbot that I've created, basically feeding it policy information from RCOG. So, example, this is an HR question asking for how much leave do I accrue as an employee. This is an answer that it can provide. This is another question in regards to procurement, some of the answers it can provide, as well as one with travel. So why are we doing a chatbot? It's because almost every higher education university is looking for more ways to be able to be more efficient. And we feel like having a chatbot, for simple questions, because our phone line rings pretty much the entire day. And we want to be able to make our office more efficient, particularly with these very, very basic questions. So we're hoping that when we do launch this, it will be on our website. It will be a pop-up, probably in a very, very similar manner that you're used to in most websites, where you'll see it on the bottom right of your screen and it can pop up like a chat. Hopefully that helps with a lot of people that want to ask these simple questions so that we don't have to use up the time that we need to talk to that with them, because many phone calls in RCOG end up taking 5, 10, 15, even 20 minutes at times, and those are time that we can't get back. So hopefully this makes it a lot easier for the staff so that they're able to do more things. We do have two new employees. One of them is Ethan Cruz, who replaced Heidi Vicani. Heidi Vicani went on to Ernst & Young after she graduated. Ethan Cruz is now an accounting analyst one, and he's a full-time employee as opposed to Heidi, who was part-time at the time. We've also adopted Angelica Ventura. She was from the NextGen grant, which is currently suspended at the moment. We've adopted her. She's currently an accounting analyst too. Both of them are on this call. So thank you for being here. I know many of you were probably looking forward to this. So as Dr. Anita mentioned, we've been tracking all of our grants. I actually have a spreadsheet for every grant currently at this moment that we track not just on a weekly basis, but we actually track on a daily basis, sometimes hourly basis as well. And it's very necessary so that we always have up-to-date information. Literally anytime an agency comes to us, a grantor, whoever the case may be, lets us know that something's going on, we update that spreadsheet. And we also inform the executives as well. So Dr. Anita, Randy, and Dr. Shar, in particular, always are up to date. So just to be able to go over this spreadsheet at this moment, we currently have 13 affected grants, many of them being paused. For example, MSU stands for Montana State University. They have 8 USDA grants that they paused, so we're not allowed to be able to expand anything there right now. We do have one terminated SDSU EPA grant. SDSU is San Diego State University. We have a subaward for them. That grant is currently terminated at this moment. We do have a DOI grant that's paused, one NOAA grant that's paused, and two USDA grants that are currently suspended at the moment. The good news is that we haven't furloughed any of them. We've found a way to be able to reassign them to other grants. That's been a very, very large focus for us at RCOG, and very, very big thank you to the HR team that's been working extremely hard on the phones to be able to see how we can find homes for these people with grants that are affected. So thank you so much, Rayanne, Sable, and Jennifer. It's been a huge help to be able to get these people new jobs or new homes in different grants where they can utilize their skills. In regards to those 13 grants that are affected, that's about $12.4 million currently that's been affected. We are closely monitoring at least 19 grants, and that 19 grants make up about 41 million. And what of those 41 million are we really looking at? We are looking at NIH grants, because there has been some stuff that's been going on with NIH grants from the federal government. In particular, we do know about how they may change our indirect cost rate. That's currently being contested right now in the courts right now, so we don't know what's going to happen. If you don't know what it is that I'm talking about, it's that NIH came out with a memo to every higher education university, as well as all nonprofits, that they would reduce the indirect cost rates from your NICRA, in our case, 39%, to 15%. That's on pause because of different federal courts that have put a pause to it, but we're closely monitoring it because we do have many NIH grants. NSF grants, because of the amount of reshuffling that they're currently doing, there has been a lot of effects from NSF, the agency in general, from the current administration. So we're closely monitoring them. Department of Energy grants, we only have one grant with them, but it's a pretty big one. And they have been affected in the US currently, but they haven't made its way yet to Guam. So we're closely monitoring to ensure whether or not we will follow suit or whether or not ours will continue. In particular, we're really looking at three things in particular: DEI grants, so any grants that have diversity, equity, or inclusion, which unfortunately is many of our grants. We're trying to make sure that we closely monitor those grants. Any grants that are IRA funded, if IRA is Inflation Reduction Act, which was from the Biden administration, those grants seem to be also targeted. As an example, the SDSU EPA grant that was previously terminated, one of the reasons was because it was an IRA grant. We are also looking at the BIL grants. So those are bipartisan infrastructure law, which we've had many grants with those as well, in particular from Department of Interior. So those are some things that we're also monitoring. That makes up quite a bit, which is about 41 million. So again, we haven't furloughed anybody. Thankfully, we've reassigned them to others. But what else have we done? So in general, I've been in communication with literally every PI. I think I've probably met with all of them, but at this point as well, either by appointment or they walk into my office, because there's always a lot of confusion on what's going on. But what I've had everybody do is not have any non-essential purchases. What I mean by that is it's not that they can't buy anything. It just means that you need to have purchases that are, pertinent to the objectives of your grant. I really wanted to ensure that nobody starts spending a crazy amount in panic buying because they're worried about their grant potentially being paused, suspended, or terminated. That's the real part, a real reason why we did this. And so far, I haven't had any unit or any PIs that have had an issue with that. They've been very good and very understanding at this moment. And I think a huge deal with that has to do with the fact that Chairwoman Anita has been very vocal of ensuring that we follow the same thing. So thank you so much, Dr. Enriquez. Another thing that we've done is also no non-essential travel. Basically, what that means is if it's not essential towards the objectives of your grant, please don't do it currently right now, unless you're using your NAF or non-federal funds. We've already had a lot of travel that has been canceled, not canceled due to the agency, but there are agency meetings that have been canceled. Those travels have been canceled. We've also had different other conferences that may have been canceled because they don't have enough people anymore, because people had to, they didn't have their grants to be able to go in and pay for that travel. So that's happened as well. So there has been a reduction in travel, at least in the last month and a half. And lastly, we've also had no new hires. We've had new hires frozen unless grantor approves. So we've also done this because we wanted to ensure that new employees that come in are not in a situation where they feel like their job may be in danger the following day. That's really essential. We don't want people putting in a 2-week notice to their job, come into our COG, and then their grant got paused the following day. We've already had some situations where we've had some employees that were going to come from the United States to be able to move to Guam, and they had to cancel their plans to be able to come to Guam and worry that they might not be able to have a secure job over here. So we've been trying to do that. Basically, what I'm asking all PIs to do is reach out to your grantor, make sure that your grant is okay and it's okay to be able to proceed with hiring. And if they say yes, then we can go ahead and proceed with hiring. And if they say no, different story. So far, so good. I haven't had much pushback in regards to this from almost anybody. So looking ahead, possible issues, I think we have to realize that there's always an addition, there's always a possibility of additional grant pauses, suspensions, or terminations. Again, this tends to change on a daily basis. We don't know sometimes we just get surprised. There could be a reduction in new grants, just because the newer administration is trying to be able to cut a lot of the budgets. There is again the possible NIH reduction of IC rate from our current 39% to 15%. There could be a reduction in applicants due to job insecurities and federal fluctuations. We've already had that, but that's something that could be possible as well. I think it's only human nature that if you hear so many things on the news, you'd be worried to be able to go into a grant job currently. So I think we can expect that to happen. I think it's already happening. At this moment, I think we can expect the RCOG net revenue to drop in fiscal year 25 just because there's so much confusion that's currently out there at the moment. I, of course, hope and pray that it will be better or equal to fiscal year 24. But if I were to give my honest assessment, I think the strong likelihood is that our net revenue would go down as compared to fiscal year 24. And of course, I think the looming question right now, and one of the real reasons why I wanted to have this meeting before next week, is because there is a possible shutdown, federal shutdown after March 14, if no federal budget is passed. We're knocking on wood that that's not the case of what happens, but we're always trying to be prepared in case that situation were to happen. Now, looking at a little bit more of the positive side, I think there are some possible opportunities. You know, if we're really looking ahead, I think this means that we have to pivot into different grant opportunities that are out there. You know, for example, working more with business and workforce development grants. I've met with Dr. Jones from the SBPA about potentially teaming up more with some of the grants that they're doing. They are looking to be able to apply for more grants because they feel the same way. So hopefully with the current administration, who seems to be more business focused, they'd be able to have more grants that are focused during that in that realm. We're working with the School of Engineering and WERI also, who are becoming much more active and have been eager to apply for more jobs. We've been in constant contact with them. So hopefully that provides more opportunity for RCOG. We've actually been trying to get some grants with them currently at this moment. We are opening doors to small business innovation research or SBIRs. We are currently working with the first ever ongoing, which is SetPoint Solutions, otherly known as SPS. We're currently working with them on completing their phase one. Their phase one is actually completing at the end of this month. We're really just helping them with closing at this moment. We're hopeful that they may go into phase two, and hopefully that opens more doors into future SBIRs in Guam. We're also working with other US territories and states to submit grants as a coalition. So myself, as well as Dr. Pamela Peralta from ORSP, are currently working with the University of Puerto Rico, University of Virgin Islands, University of Hawaii, and the University of Alaska as submitting some NSF grants together as a coalition. So we have many things in mind right now. We're actually in the middle of being able to do the proposal at this moment. We've had several meetings in the last year or so. There's a real push to be able to work together as neighboring islands and islands that have similar issues. And lastly, building relations with other agencies and nonprofits and bringing in their grants to UG. I think more than ever right now, we can't really sit idly by in RCOG and just wait for grants to be able to come to us. It also means that we should be looking at others on how we can somehow have RCOG with other agencies as well. Department of Agriculture is one of our most common ally that we have at this moment. They constantly try to work with us. They have a lot of positive things to say about us. We are currently working with USGS, USDA, NPS as well. So there are other agencies that we work with, and I think this is something that we have to continue so that we don't just sit idly by, but we continue to hustle. And that's it for my report. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you very much, Michael. Before we entertain other questions, I'm just curious. Of the grants and those that appear to be most at risk, what have you calculated what a 1 month's worth of salary would be for possibly affected employees?
Yes. So in general, we have about 190 employees, I believe, are federally funded, and we're looking at about $400,000 biweekly.
Biweekly.
That's
That's for all the grants.
federal grants alone.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so it's quite a bit of money. So that's a huge reason why we wanted to be sure that we're comfortable should there ever be a federal shutdown.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I think we have a question from Ajay.
Yes, this is Jay. I'm a small business owner on Guam in technology. I applied for a NOAA federal grant. I have two questions. You said you want to partner more with agencies locally. The grant I applied for was an SBA, SBIR program with NOAA. How would UOG help with that? And who is the best person to talk to about that? And regarding the technology solutions, like you created a RCUOG chatbot, is there some bidding processes to add more technology to UOG's current tool sets?
I think Jay, thank you for coming to this meeting. Yeah, I think we're always looking for more opportunities to be able to improve our technology. This chatbot is extremely cheap. It's not a very expensive one. In regards to your first question, you can meet with me actually. We can meet off of this meeting. We would love to be able to see what it is that you applied for and how we could potentially help you. In general, RCUG normally works with University of Guam grants. But yeah, let's have a discussion after this and we can see where it is that how we can somehow fit into that.
Cool, I'll stay on the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? I think that's about it, Michael. Oh, sorry. Yes, thank you. Very thorough. Thank you for sharing about all the wonderful highlights, Michael, and the new technology introduce. I think there's a lot to learn with regard to being able to leverage that in other parts of our campus. And also what we do for our students in the form of travel grant awards opens up their exposure to the many different opportunities that are out there beyond our island borders and are able to bring those back so that they can continue to contribute to other ways in which we can have value. I want to welcome our the new employees of the RCOG. I know we're going through a bit of a turbulence at this particular time, and very confident with the leadership that Michael has been presenting to us since Kathleen has retired. Of course, we miss Kathleen, but I know that she's not too far away, and we still have a wonderful team on board. I don't know if we properly introduce our regent, Janice Malilai. We usually have a member of our Board of Regents serving on the RCOG board. So I just want to go ahead and give her a warm welcome. Please help me welcome her. She has been a wonderful supporter of the institution. We're very grateful for her time as well as for others. I neglected to announce that the University of Guam received on Valentine's Day, a notice about its Carnegie designation as a research college and university. And that is huge because it elevates our stature as an institution that is engaging in the research space. And after we graduate our first cohort of doctoral students through our EdD or Doctor of Education program, then that makes us eligible to pursue or apply for R2 status. So we're just very proud of that. And I want to thank everyone engaged in that process. And certainly what RCOG together with ORSP collectively have been able to present to qualify us for this new Carnegie designation. Thank you. The next item on the agenda, we have four action items this afternoon. 4.2, resolution number 25-01, relative to approving, let's see, relative to, what do we have here? That's the, yes. Yeah, relative to approving the FY 2024 reserve expenditure plan. Michael, I take it back to you.
Yep, no problem. So as per resolution 22-01, we're supposed to establish a reserve distribution policy for how we used the previous year. And we never had a formal resolution for that because we haven't had our last meeting since October and we didn't have our final numbers at that time. So this is to be able to establish the fiscal year 2024 reserve expenditure plan. As I reported earlier, we did have a net revenue of $714,000. Of this amount, we will commit the usual $250,000 to fund the construction costs for the Weary Building and Nursing Annex projects, which leaves a balance of $464,000. My recommendation based off of this is to be able to keep it in reserve for purposes of salaries, fringe benefits, other essential expenditures, and possible non-reimbursable expenditures from grants that are paused, suspended, terminated, or shut down due to a federal government closure. So one of the things that Dr. Anita mentioned earlier was how much does it cost, you know, for a payroll. It is roughly about $400,000. So that's kind of what I want to be able to keep it in reserve for, just in case we were to have a worst case scenario of a federal government shutdown, so that we can keep our employees employed at RCOG. And should there be none, and there be no federal government shutdown, or nor we need to use that money, we can then have another meeting in our next meeting to be able to see how we can allocate that to other things. I really just want to be a little bit more liquid, so in case there are any issues that we have a reserve fund and we don't need to touch the cash flow from the University of Guam.
Thank you. So let's go back to the resolution. As stated, this resolution, yes. So are you modifying this resolution? Or
we didn't have an existing resolution for fiscal year 24 reserve expenditure plan. This is the expenditure plan, the reserve expenditure plan.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you very much. So a resolution has been presented to us. Do I hear a motion,
Madam Chair,
to approve the resolution?
I move to approve 2501.
Okay.
With the caveat that Michael mentioned regarding the use of the 464056 reserving, if in the event there's no need for it because there is no shutdown, that we can come back and utilize, make a decision on the use of that at that time.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Hernandez. Motion made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, VP Randy. Any discussion on this motion as presented? Let's see. Okay, so I don't see any hands raised. All in favor of approving the motion as presented, please signify by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, it is unanimous. The resolution carries. Thank you very much. It is approved. Okay. The next item on the agenda is resolution number 25-02 relative to amending the RCOG administrator scale. Michael, I turn it back to you.
Sure. This is a very, very simple one. Background information. We have had administrators that have tried to apply for overtime. We would think that it would be common knowledge that administrators are not eligible, and we've always turned them down. And we've had another one that saved up months of comp time to be able to use on a vacation, only to tell her later on that she doesn't accumulate comp time due to being an administrator. Really, all I'm trying to do is make it clear that administrators are not eligible for overtime nor compensatory time off, so that it's clear that they don't have that.
Thank you very much, Michael. A resolution is presented. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, VP Randy. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. A second by Regent Medlila? Yes.
No, that was me, Rachel LG.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Rachel Leon Guerrero. Okay. Any discussion on this motion? I don't see any hands raised.
I had a question.
Oh, President. Yes.
Yeah. Is there any, well, I guess this might be a personal thing, but is there any complaint or anything kind of lodged regarding this?
Never any formal lodge. It has been more of informal discussions, you know, like, oh, why am I not eligible for overtime? We've explained that. The comp time was a little bit of a longer discussion. We've had to explain that as administrators, you know, you don't get overtime. You have the normal the overtime laws from the Fair Labor Standards Act that applies to you. I'm just trying to have to avoid those conversations if possible by having it very apparent that they're exempt from overtime and comp time.
Okay. I just wanted to note that the addition of this doesn't necessarily mean it was never, this is not a prospective thing moving forward. So I just wanted to clarify that in the event someone thinks that because we added it, that it's only prospective. So yeah, just wanted to note that.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments, questions? Okay, I'll go ahead and call for the vote. All in favor of approving the motion towards this resolution, please signify by saying aye and raising your right hand.
Aye.
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 Are there any opposed to this motion? Okay. I don't see any. Any abstentions? I don't see any. Okay. Motion carries. Thank you very much. The next resolution is resolution number 25-03 relative to amending the RCOG travel policy. Michael, I'll turn it back to you.
Sure. Under section 5B, which is under per diem, I wanted to remove the phrase, if their flight arrives 6 p.m. or later and their conference or activity begins before noon the following day. As currently constructed right now, the University of Guam Business Office does not have this in their language. We're trying to kind of mirror that. Basically, we are going into a new software in Chromeover, and we're not able to have that as a rule for it. So it would make it very difficult. In general, when we do review our travel, it is difficult to always take a look at whether or not they arrived at 6 p.m. or later. What's very key right now is that if you read the policy currently right now, basically we're saying that if you go fly 8 hours or more, that you could get up to 2 days if per diem, or if you arrive 2 days before. But this caveat that if they arrive 6 p.m. or later is another part where it shows that they need to meet that in order to get those 2 days. The problem that we have many times is that someone could arrive at 5 p.m. on their flight ticket, but they don't actually land until after 6 p.m. They could sometimes land even 6:30 or even 7 p.m. at the same time. So it causes a lot of issues and a lot of inefficiencies for when we review people's travels. So in an effort to kind of unite and be a little bit more mirroring what the University of Guam Business Office has, we want to be able to remove that phrase. We just feel like it will be a lot more efficient. And there is another one that I would like to be able to amend as well. So this is under 7A, under salaries while traveling. This is an exact word for word that they have in the business office's travel policies. It's to add that overtime pay will not be allowed for employees on travel status, Per diem is available for travelers traveling on weekends or on holidays, and travelers will not be paid additional salary for travel or work that takes place on nights, weekends, or holidays. The main reason why I wanted to be able to add that and be similar to the business office is because I have had a lot of people and other travelers that have asked, you know, why am I not getting compensated for the time that I fly on the weekends? Why am I not getting overtime for the hours that I fly, you know, while on the weekends or at night as well? We've always been able to quell literally all of those. But I think adding this verbiage in a similar manner to what the business office has would alleviate us from constantly having those discussions.
Okay. Thank you very much, Michael. Any other questions?
I have a question. I was just wondering if this aligns with the University of Guam's policy and travel in general.
These two are actually exactly, if on the 7A one in regards to the three sentences that I added, it's exactly word for word. And the one for 5B, if we were to remove the if their flight arrives at 6 p.m. or later, it would be almost exactly the same as well on that section.
Thank you very much. Arija Malila, any other comments?
And this includes specifically to tip up to 50% gratuity. That's in all University of Guam travel policies?
Oh, that's a resolution from a previous.
Oh, okay.
That's in 2023. It would be these two that would be added.
That's changed. Okay.
Yes, that's correct. So just to kind of show you got show everybody here, the one that I'm talking about, this is our travel policy. So what I would do is remove the if their flight arrives at 6 p.m. or later. So this section would pretty much be almost exactly the same as the business office. And on this one, this is currently all that's currently there for salary while on travel. I would add these sentences, which are word for word, the exact same words in the business office.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say thank you.
Thank you as well.
Okay. Thank you very much, Regent Malila. Michael, any other comments, any questions?
I'd like to just make a comment. I think I like the fact that you're doing this because I remember when I started at ORSP, quite a few people were being given quote unquote comp time for, you know, they go on a trip that and they would purposely plan it that they'd leave on a Saturday and they'd come back the next Sunday so that it was basically 4 weekend days. And then they'd say, oh, well, you owe me comp time. So when they get back from their trip, then they were being given 4 days of comp time. And I'm like, what? That's not the policy. So we didn't allow it. I stopped allowing it, but it's good that you're putting it in writing so that it's clear across the board. So I think that's a good idea.
Thank you, Dr. Rachel.
Thank you very much, Dr. Rachel. Okay. Any other comments, questions?
Yeah, Madam Chair, just the same comment as last time. I guess in practice, we've been doing this already, so it doesn't give any, I guess, validity to any prior claims. So I just wanted to note that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay. Well, I don't see any more hands raised. And if there aren't any more, then I'll go ahead and call for the vote. All in favor of approving resolution number 25-03, please signify by saying aye and raising your right hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, I don't see any. Any abstentions? I don't see any. Motion carries for resolution 25-03. 03. Thank you, Michael. The next item on the agenda, I think there's one more resolution number.
Before I get into that, was there a motion to approve?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I? Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. Do I hear a motion to approve? We forgot to take that.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Rachel. Do I hear a
Second.
second? Thank you, Dr. Hernandez. All in favor of approving resolution 25-03, please signify by saying aye, raising your right hand.
Aye.
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 Okay, thank you very much. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the ayes have it. Resolution 25-03 is approved. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is resolution number 25-04 relative to approving an incentive for RCU UOG employees who earn grant or HR certifications. Michael, I turn it back to you.
Sure. As everybody here probably knows, we do have an existing resolution 18-01, which mirrors the Government of Guam's public law that awards a one-time two-step pay increase to those that get accounting certifications. So that includes the CPA, the CGFM, the CFE, and the CIA. What my request is that in RCUG, we don't just have accountants here in RCUG. We have HR, which is just as important as the accountants here. I'd like for them to be able to also have a capability of being able to earn a very prestigious credential like the SHRM CP and the Professional and Human Resources. And I also have another one called the Certified Grants Management Specialist, the CGMS, which is hosted by NGMA, the largest grant association. It is the highest level grant certification that is out there. Pass rate is extremely low. I believe it's less than 30%. So it is a very difficult one. It would add a lot of credentials to us here at RCOG, if we were to have people that were able to attain these certifications. So I currently have the SHRM CP. I just passed the CGFM a few days ago, so I have two of these already, and I'd like to be able to have my staff also potentially take these exams and get a pay increase if they pass it, because I think that's something that they would deserve should they get our credentials such as these. So I think what's really key is that I did indicate here that it's always subject to the approval of the executive director and is subject to the availability of funding.
Thank you very much.
These would be the certifications. So these four are already approved since resolution 18-01. I'm basically asking if I can add these three into it.
Thank you very much, Michael. I'll go ahead and entertain a motion for resolution 25-04.
Regent Malia moves to approve resolution number 25-04, approving an incentive for RCOG employees to earn grants or HR certifications.
Thank you very much, Regent Malulai. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, second. That was Dr. Hernandez. Okay, now I open it up for discussion. Any discussion on this motion?
Sorry, I have one.
Okay.
Sure. Totally supportive of this, of course, trying to ensure that we celebrate and kind of just incentivize people to just do better personally and professionally. I was wondering, after we move this forward, could you look into the need for procurement certification as well? I know that there are a few out there. I hold one, certified public procurement officer. So if it's something that's needed in the RCUG, I just wanted to see if you could take a look at that, not to take away anything from the resolution. I just wanted to make that mention.
Absolutely. I agree. I think I should look in more into that, and perhaps that's something in the future. I will note that this grant, this one in particular, the CGMS, actually involves not just pre-award to post-award, but it has very, very great emphasis on a code of federal regulations. So it could actually be quite helpful for procurement as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? I do know that when the resolution was presented, there was already the recognition through Government of Guam for providing the STEP adjustments for these those certified in accounting, and that applied government of Guam wide. Of course, University of Guam had to follow suit. And so the question then becomes, is this something that is being considered across government of Guam agencies? And of course, should it pass through the RCOG board, then you're going to see a spillover effect in terms of the University of Guam and consideration. There is always a funding impact to the budget with regard to anything that's going to affect salaries, especially in terms of a salary adjustment. And so I just wanted to just sort of add this to the discussion with regard to are we going to, I think Vice President Randy is in this meeting, but I'm just curious as to see if he had anything to add to this conversation, because we know that when the government of Guam entertained providing the step adjustments for those certified in accounting, it was because they were trying to encourage the strengthening of the credentials among accountants in key positions in the government. And of course, you have those pursuing certifications in HR, and so there, you know, there are quite a lot of those. And so I'm just curious, would this be germane specifically to the position in which the employee holds, or is this just a blanket application, regardless of the position and the need for specific types of certification?
You're directing that at me?
I think I'm directing it back to Michael because
Okay.
it'll affect
So,
RCOG. Yes.
yes, it would only affect RCOG employees. So,
Okay. Just in
but
general, or it would be for specific types of positions?
as currently constructed, the way the resolution is drafted up, it would say for in general, if that's the case, we could make an amendment to be able to have it for specific positions if needed.
Right. The only reason I brought it up is because we had faculty who were not in the accounting realm claiming that because they passed the certification, they also wanted to have the step adjustments on their pay. Yet their discipline and their scope of, you know, the scope of performance had nothing to do with accounting. But because they had the certification, they felt that they should also be afforded the same opportunity for that step adjustment. And that's the only reason I bring this up.
I have a basic question.
Okay, Regent Malili.
Is this within your budget? You have a freeze in hiring, so is there a freeze in increased pay or promotions in some way or certifications? Can we afford this?
We currently don't have a freeze in regards to increments. It is on new hires. In regards to this, it's again, it would be subject to the availability of funding. So should someone that's working for a grant not have the ability to be able to afford the increment, then they would be ineligible for the increase.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you too.
Madam Chair, I just had another comment.
Yes,
Just
Dr. Hernandez.
related to what you mentioned, yeah. So I understand the Government of Guam law that allows for this incentive pay, or they call it a pay differential. It actually requires that the individual be kind of part of the preparation of financial statements. And so I think it might be prudent to limit the types of certification to what their job might be, which you mentioned as maybe it being positional. So if you do get a SHRM CP or the PHR, then maybe that if they're in the position of doing HR work, maybe the CGMS could be a little bit more general since maybe many of them are working on that. But yeah, there is a controlling factor for the accounting certifications that they have to be involved in the preparation of financial statements as per the law. So it might be prudent to probably limit that to what their job specs are.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Hernandez. Any comment? Any other comments? Michael, any response to that?
No, I think I agree. I think both yourself and Ricky make very good points that perhaps it needs to be tied towards the duties that they provide. I think I can figure out the person that you're talking about in regards to getting the certifications that probably didn't have much to do with their jobs. So I think we could add in language, or we can revisit this in our next board meeting as a new resolution that does have that language in it.
Thank you. Well, the motion has been made already, and we've allowed for discussion. We can move forward towards the vote on whether we approve a motion on the resolution, or we can move to table this. Okay. So where is my sergeant at arms?
I think we need to vote on the motion first, and then we can make another motion to table it and revisit this in our next meeting.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair Malifa, who is an expert at this. Yes. So all in favor of approving the motion on resolution 25-04, please signify by raising your hand. Okay. How many hands are raised?
Is it possible to amend the motion at this point?
No, I think you need to vote on the motion, and then we can always make a motion to revisit this when Michael has revisits his resolution and maybe changes the verbiage in his next resolution that he wants to present to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there was one yes.
Okay, so there's one yes. Let's see. All opposed to the motion, please signify by raising your hand.
Nay, sorry.
Only because there's going to be an updated one.
So how many hands do we have raised?
We have five.
So we have that includes those with their okay. So my hand was raised. So five opposed. Any abstentions?
I'm opposed.
One abstention.
Okay. Well, the thank you very much. The motion has failed. It hasn't passed. Thank you for that, Michael. So apparently there is an opportunity to entertain a new motion or to revisit a resolution at our next meeting. Okay. Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda, let's see. Okay. We have, yes, we have 5-0 adjournment. I will entertain a motion to adjourn today's meeting.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, VP Randy. Seconded by Regent Malilai. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. It's unanimous. The meeting's adjourned. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you to RCOG, Michael, and team for all your hard work. And have a wonderful rest of your day and weekend. And Biba, RCOG.
Biba.
Okay.
Biba. Bye, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.